4 years of warfare and deepening crisis have crippled the Iraqi economy. If the country is ever to rebound, it will have to decide what to do with 192 state-owned factories, once the backbone of the economy. NPR's John Burnett reports on one Iraqi factory that has kept its gates open.
It is 133 degrees on the blacktop that leads into the state company for automotive industry in the town of Iskandaria, 30 miles south of Baghdad. A debonair figure in a dark blue suit, spotless dress shirt, and shiny shoes yells at a smudged worker to open a door. Sheikh Sabah al-Kafaji strides into a cavernous building strewn with shards of metal. He has a message for the world.
We want to say we are in life. We are stay living.
That's the exception. State-owned companies are shuttered all over Iraq. After regime change 4 years ago, the highly centralized Ba'athist government that placed orders for cigarettes, bicycles, detergent, milk, and tomato paste collapsed. Then the factory's cash balances were raided for reconstruction. Today, according to the U.S. military, four out of the nearly 200 state-owned companies have reopened. A clothing factory in Najaf, a porcelain sink plant in Ramadi, a leather facility in Baghdad, and the bus factory, albeit at lower production. During boom times in the 1980s, the factory produced 6 to 10 buses a day.
Now we manufacture 6 to 10 per month because there is no market for that.
Why is there no market for your buses?
Because they import buses and they don't buy from our factory.
So the free market has been rough for the factory.
Yes, it's a free market, but you know, we have a good chassis, a good bus.
To survive, the bus factory has diversified. It builds towers for refineries, fabricates steel to repair blown bridges, and under a $6 million contract with the U.S. government, it assembles modular buildings and armors big yellow buses built on Swedish chassis. The bigger question for the bus factory and every other state-owned factory is whether in post-Ba'athist Iraq, with its capitalist-loving American overlords, will the plants privatize or die, as so many did in the former Soviet Union? Major Craig Whiteside is the industrial liaison at the nearby U.S. military base.
At what point do they make a break from the socialist underpinnings of their factories and their business models and say, that's it, we're going for it? Because otherwise they'll die off, because they cannot compete with the free market that's out there.
What the factory needs most is new equipment, like welding machinery. A 28-year-old welder named Ali Owaid Fayel stands near his torch in a dirty denim shirt and sandals.
We are using antiquated, outdated machinery in this factory. We still use an old hand welder. We don't have anything innovative.
There are also personal issues for the workers who live in nearby Iskandaria, a violent town right on the Sunni-Shia fault line.
Every day we risk our lives when we come to work. We can expect a suicide bomber to blow us up at any time.
Unemployment in Iraq is thought to be 60%. The Pentagon is so keen on employing an idle workforce to get them to stop killing U.S. troops that it created the position of Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Business Transformation. Paul Brinkley, an intense 40-year-old former high-tech executive, choppers around the country surrounded by former Delta Force commandos as a sort of one-man chamber of commerce. His portfolio is to reinvigorate Iraqi industry, and currently Sheikh Sabah is his rock star.
That's a factory I can bring businessmen to. They see a skilled workforce. They see people who can manufacture buses and tractors and irrigation equipment and all the things they can do in Iskandaria. And suddenly they're interested in potentially taking advantage of that workforce to access this market. That's the philosophy we're applying. Now, it's difficult.
Difficult in the extreme. Currently, the bus factory employs about 450. The other 3,000 workers from the Saddam years have been furloughed. They sit at home collecting 40% of their salaries, which Sabah, back in his office, says is not enough to keep them from joining the insurgency.
Because when they have no job, they are thinking about bad things. When they have no money, someone give them money and do maybe bad things.
This is not how the script was supposed to go. U.S. troops were supposed to be greeted as liberators. Iraqi exiles were supposed to flood the country with new investment. Skilled state workers were supposed to jump into the robust new private sector. Like everything else over the past 4 years, it hasn't turned out that way. But Sabah al-Kafaji is a survivor. He just signed a contract to maintain transport trucks from Kuwait, and he has other good prospects as well. Said a U.S. Army officer, "I wish we had more like him." John Burnett, NPR News, Baghdad.